Nick, 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 Nick,
Nickelodeon!
From Nickelodeon Studios in Burbank, California, this is the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Hector Navarro. Welcome to the podcast. Our guest today is an actor, a musician, and is a voice actor most notably known as Tommy Pickles from the Rugrats, Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls, Rudy Tooboody from Chalk Zone, plus countless more characters that you remember and love. Whenever the going gets tough, I think we all remember that a baby's gotta do what a baby's gotta do, and we finally got the legend Tommy Pickles herself, E.G. Daily. You stay in and watch movies, or you just...
stayed home the whole day yesterday and just did work from home because I did a bunch of MP3s. But I was like, couldn't get myself to want to go out. It was just like, I was just running around the house from like one part of the house to the next going, wow, look at all that rain. Wow. That's really cool.
E.G., thanks so much for coming in today. This is fantastic.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. It's awesome.
How did you get the job of voicing Tommy Pickles? Let's go way back. Let's do it.
I actually... wasn't even doing voiceover. I was just doing music and acting. And I was doing a play called Tansy where I played a female wrestler. And each round of the play, I was a different age.
Cool.
So like first round, I was a baby, like I was a little baby. And then I turned into a five-year-old, like, mom! You know, into a five-year-old and then a 10-year-old and then 16. And so I didn't really think much about it. I was just happy to do this play because I got to be singing. And then somebody saw me and handed me their card and said, you know, you're really good with your voice and your, you know, you do kids' voices really well. And I didn't really think anything about it. I just thought, I was like, oh, whatever. And he said, you should come into the office and you should check this out. So I went on one audition for him, which was one radio commercial, I think, for like a Corey Hart, the new album on EMI. One of those, which I booked, and I was like, I booked it? Like, I couldn't believe it. Because to me, it was so easy, I didn't even think about it. And the very next audition was for something where they were replacing someone, a boy. And they sent me, they said, go in on this audition. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. I'm having my carpets replaced in my condo. I can't. And then my agent that I found at that play was like, no, you should probably try to go. Just go in on this. It's, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'll get you on the next one. You know, because it was my first two things I'd been out for.
Sure.
And then he said, no, I really want you to go. So I thought, okay. Shoot, I told the people working on my condo, I was like, I'll be right back. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Okay.
A lie. But I said, I'll be back in 15 minutes. I'm just going outside.
Yeah.
Really, I just ran to the studio, started reading for this little, you know, they showed me a little claymation of this character.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, and there were, everybody was out at the booth watching me. And I was the first person to read, and I was glad because I knew I had to run out. And they said, we're just, you know, we want to find the right voice. And I remember thinking, I'd been doing this voice since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
Always, this one little voice. And so it was very developed. And I was like, that character looks like that voice I've been doing my whole life, which was, oh, well, a baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. And he had some big floppy lips. And I thought, that just looks like that kid I've been doing my whole life. And so I did it. And then the next thing you know, I booked it. And that was Tommy Pickles. It was my second audition I'd ever been on in my life.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That seems like fate. That seems like...
It was very fate, especially because I was just kind of pushing it away a lot. I was just kind of like, no, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. You know? But the universe just kept saying, no, you're going to do this thing. And then 14 years later, it was like Emmys and stars on the Walk of Fame and feature films. So it really changed my life.
I want to go back. I want to ask you, E.G., you mentioned that the voice for Tommy Pickles was something that you had been doing since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Where did that voice come from?
It was, I had my best friend, Michelle, and she and I were in elementary school together. And we both did baby voices, and we would just like, we would hold pinkies like that, and we would walk around the playground, and I'd be like, I would like some water. I would like a tissue from over there. And I would like, you know, we would just like walk around and do voices together. Like, it was again one of those innate things, like that, you know, notice those things you do that are random, because those might be your money makers, or those might be your goose that laid the golden egg. I didn't really work at being a voice actor. I was an actor, so I knew how to act, and I was a singer, so I knew how to kind of contort my voice a bit.
Mm.
But I didn't know how to do cartoons, and I certainly didn't grow up thinking, when I grow up, I'm going to be a famous cartoon. It was nothing like that.
When did you know that you were going to be an actor?
I think I was a musician first. Mm-hmm. I think I was a dancer first because dancing was something that I didn't feel embarrassed and self-conscious doing for some reason, but I had a real ability to dance and I was in ballet and stuff. But singing, I just started doing when I was real young, like 8, 9. I picked up a guitar book and taught myself how to play guitar. That was my first thing, was using my voice and mm-hmm. singing. And then I would just practice singing a lot. And then I studied singing. So I think the voice was something that was a pivotal thing. Like I just knew that there was something about the voice. And, you know, which I love because the voice is the way you communicate. It's the voice you express yourself. It's the, you know, it's how you, you know, it's the voice I use for my characters. It's mm-hmm. the voice I use to act. You know, the voice is very powerful.
Absolutely.
And I also think that, you know, you can hear a lot about the energy of a person in the voice. Like you can hear, like I can usually pick a guy that I want to date by their voice. Cause it's like, oh no, I can't date that guy. Yeah, well, we're gonna be that. You know, it's like certain things like throw me, but you can also hear like the whole soul of a person in their voice. So I think it's always been something really key for me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden as you get older, it's like all of a sudden I become this voice person mm-hmm. and I become someone who, you know, I speak a lot on different things and that's important to me. And then I end up getting on The Voice.
Yeah.
You know, later
what was that
in my
experience?
Life.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
What was that like?
I mean, first of all, I didn't plan it. It was mm-hmm. just one of those things where, you know, I just started deciding, I was like, you know, late 40s, and I was like, I got to start doing what I love again because I started finding myself not. Mm. I started feeling like, what's happening here? I'm starting to feel like, you know, I'm starting to get caught up in a lot of the beliefs of like, as you get older, you can't do what you love. And
right.
And I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's like my kids will get so pissed at me because they're going to be like, that is so stupid. You look so stupid, Mom. You
Mom.
Know? Yeah. And I was just like, but then again, I had to remember, you know, what am I doing? It's a fine line between the part of you that's like really like, this doesn't feel good, you know,
right.
like, you know, and the part of you that's like, this is scary and I need to push through this.
Tommy Pickles, when we started with Rugrats, it was a fun show and it was an adorable show and it was life lessons. And then all of a sudden it would have these moments where it gets so emotional. Has there been a lot of reaction for your performance that you were giving?
It's interesting that you say that. I don't really remember that. Normally that's not what somebody will say to me. They'll just say, oh my God, Tommy's so cute, or
right.
do the voice or do the giggle, or you know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
they don't normally say that was, you know, that was some really moving acting. I don't really think that's
really well, now that's going to
cool.
change. After they listen
yeah.
to this, they're going to be like, yeah, I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
If I run into E.G. Daily, I'm going to tell her I was moved.
Thanks.
And then I'll say, yes, very cute. Yeah, 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 all cute stuff.
Thanks.
But I was
yeah.
moved. It was really great.
Yeah, I know when I do it, it feels really moving, you know. And then I just, you know, it feels really moving to do
yeah.
it. So I'm glad that it moves. I'm glad that it moves people. That's what's
is
good.
Is it a big departure for you to go in and if you're doing an episode of Rugrats or All Grown Up or even one of the films, knowing that this character is more of a cute, childlike character, but then they're giving you a script with this big moment. Is it a big departure for you? Is it
no.
Or does it come naturally as part
it
of the character?
Very naturally. I mean, because the character is so down inside of me that it's just being the character. It's not
yeah.
like I have to work to be that or work to feel that. It just sort of is.
You're a bad, naughty baby, and you're never gonna get any better. I'm through being your big brother. I don't want my responsibility no more. I'm sorry. It's okay, Dil. Everything's gonna be okay.
What's the best thing about voicing Tommy Pickles? What's the best thing? Because he's such a great character.
I think
character.
He's like, he's not a typical cartoon. Like, for some reason, it's not that interchangeable. And I like that he's so unique. He's so not typical, like your typical baby boy sound. He's got his own little quirks. And
mm-hmm.
and I just think that he just is very simple. You know, he's just very simple. And I have to say, it really was a combination of, like, the amazing writing and the amazing directors. And we had such an amazing team of people working on especially the first whole 10 years first batch of Rugrats.
Yeah.
It was so meticulous about everything that I think that I got to shine with my little character of Tommy
yeah.
because of all those elements.
You make me like you. Didn't know if I was gonna. Didn't know if I was gonna. You make me hug you. And I didn't really wanna. Just eat a banana.
Was it different for you as an actor going to All Grown Up, the series, and the special right beforehand, but the series where all of a sudden they're teens? What was that like for you?
I mean, it was definitely weird. You know, I was definitely like, I was confused with how he looked when he became all grown up.
Yeah,
I was
like, yeah, what? The hair and everything.
It's like
yeah.
Purple hair.
Yeah.
And then the writers changed, and then we were getting like paragraph scripts, and so I'd be like, Tommy's older, but he still wouldn't do that.
Sure.
Like, he wouldn't do that. And then I'd have to like talk to writers, and because at that point we've been doing these characters for 14 years, and now you're coming in, new writer, trying to make Tommy teen. Well, you got to keep Tommy who he was.
Tommy who
he was. You just got to make him a little more mature.
And you're the character at this point.
Yeah, so they were really good about us, allowing us to kind of express ourselves. They were really
very
good
cool
about that. They were like, wow, okay. Like, I'm like, he would never do big paragraph speeches.
Mm-hmm.
He would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very simple guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's older, but he was a very simple guy.
Yeah.
So then they would work with us on that. But I think that's where it just kind of like didn't work as well as they wanted it to, because it was too different.
Well, we love them as babies.
Yeah.
You know, that's who they are. So you know this character so well. You are this character.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think Tommy ended up as an adult?
I think he's a really chill little guy. And I think he's really smart. He's not like me because I'm super ADD. I don't think he's ADD. I think he's super focused.
Cool.
And I think he would be at a job where he would kind of be managing things.
Yeah.
You know?
But that makes a lot of sense.
Nothing Hollywood, nothing in the Hollywood entertainment business at all, I think. He would just be pretty chill.
That sounds like a nice happy ending. That's good.
Right?
Great.
Yeah.
When you voice Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls, did that relieve any stress for you to play that
tough? Kind of, yeah. Buttercup just kind of like blasts it out, you know? And I might be a little more careful of your feelings, but Buttercup doesn't really care. So she just blasts stuff out, which is what I love about that character.
Absolutely.
Which is what I love about that it lives in me too.
Yeah.
You know, that part of me lives in me, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to have that aspect of your personality.
Yeah.
You also did the voice of Baby Mumble from Happy Feet.
Yeah.
Love that scene. Yeah. Love that film. It was so great. Is that the cutest character you've
probably
ever voiced?
Probably the cutest one.
Okay.
I would have to say. I mean, he was just so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when in the very beginning when it was just like, you know, it was just as small as I could squish him out of my throat and mouth and lips and tongue. It was so small. And I got that job because I had done Lorenzo's Oil for George Miller. Sorry.
He just changed the world with his last Mad Max. It was amazing.
Yeah, he's
so
unbelievable.
Great.
He's such a great director. But they hired me first to do Lorenzo's Oil, which was the Nick Nolte, Susan Sarandon movie, where I redid the boy's voice. So I got to work with him on that, which was really, it's really an experience because I'd be like in the studio and I would be lying. I think there were times where I digitally phone patched to him and he would be on this giant screen from Australia. And then there were times where he was in town where they would lie me on the floor and then they would take like a boom mic and put it over my face. And then George would be like pumping my stomach with his hand. So he would be on me like as if he was doing CPR.
Wow.
And I would just be like, you know, because it was like this boy was like retching in pain and stuff. And so, or he'd be like squishing my, he'd be sitting and I'd be standing in front of him like a kid and he'd be like squishing my rib cage so that he would get certain involuntary sounds out of my mouth,
those,
like convulsive sounds.
Sure.
And then I get a call from him for Babe, Babe 2, Babe Pig in the City, which I ended up doing Babe for. So then I worked with him on that, which was great. And then they called me in on, so it was beautiful because I didn't have to read for any of those and they just called me in and I did a Happy Feet 1 and then Happy Feet 2. And it's a really incredible experience working with them. You know,
that is
just
so cool.
Like, yeah. And that was my, probably the cutest little guy.
Yeah. I mean, I did the research and definitely the cutest, cutest character that you've done. I read that you look at characters' mouth shapes. I've never heard of a voice actor doing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do that. I do. As a matter of fact, I do it so much that sometimes I'm not paying attention to people. Like I'm literally like in the room looking at people going, how would she sound? And then
just normal people you're looking at, their mouths.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm on panels, like people are, I'm on panels and like there's a few moments where I'm not talking. I'm like literally looking at people in the audience going, I wonder how she sounds. Like, I literally just, like, it's a fascination for me. Because the mouth is such a, the mouth and teeth and tongue.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really how the sound comes out. I mean, I could literally, you could probably play me 10 voices and put up 10 people, sit 10 people in a room, and I could probably match the voice to the face. That's one of my favorite games.
You could have worked for the FBI.
I could have.
In some
it's
capacity.
It's really one of my favorite games.
That's so cool.
Yeah, like, it's a pretty fun game. I mean, probably nobody gets it, but I have a great time playing that game.
I don't know if I'd be good at it, but I want to play it. That sounds
fun. It's a good game,
that's,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a good
can
game.
Can you do my voice? I mean, everybody's hearing what my voice sounds like, but if you didn't hear what I sounded like.
If I didn't know what you sounded like, yeah. I could match your voice up to your face.
I'm going to, okay.
Because the way your mouth, your upper lip kind of comes higher than your bottom lip.
It's true.
Yeah, I know.
I have like a Tommy Pickles overbite a little bit.
Your eyes kind of widen when you speak, kind of like, it's true. And see, all those things are indicative of how you would sound.
That's really funny. That's absolutely right. Would you create a voice for me, or is it just like a matching thing? Like if you didn't hear me.
I do, but men's voices I can't do so well because that's just
what about me as a kid? What would I sound like as a kid?
You would sort of sound like this and... He would sort of kind of talk like this, and what do you think? Really? That's cool. You know, I would sort of do you like that.
That is exactly what I sounded like. Now, who do you want to see? Tommy! Tommy! Who do you want to see? Tommy! Tommy! You've been in so many movies and TV shows, Better Off Dead, Laverne and Shirley, Chips, Fame, Valley Girl. Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a big one. Pee-wee's Big Adventure is so cool. You, of course, played the iconic Dottie. What has it been like to be part of Pee-wee's world?
I mean, that has its own life, too.
It does.
I mean, I've literally been walking on a road, a street, and have people running after me going, Dottie, I want to marry you, Dottie. And, you know, I've had more marriage proposals from Dottie than any hot, sexy character I've ever played. And I'm always like, tell me why you want to marry Dottie, because she's not that sexy, and she's kind of tomboy. And they're like, that's why. Yeah, she's real. And so I like that. And, yeah, that had its own life. I mean, that's been like over 30 years. And
I know.
It's still iconic, and we still do like big premiere screenings. We did this Hollywood Cemetery screenings, and it was like packed with like 5,000 people picnicking in the cemetery. And then we get up and greet the audience, Paul Rubens and I and Pee-wee and a couple of the other cast members that come. But every year, it's like their biggest turnout. It's so much fun, and I just think it's so cool to be part of something that just sustains, you know.
Here's another cool thing you've done, E.G., is you were in The Devil's Rejects. You played a character named Candy. And then you were in 31. You played a character named Sexhead.
Yeah.
Which is great. As an actor.
That's great.
Real character's name. As an actor, what is appealing about doing the horror genre?
Well, that's a whole other thing. I mean, that's like you get to go into this like, you know, that tickly, scary feeling, like, you know, like that kind of scary, tickly thing.
That's a good description.
Like,
tickly, scary. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so it's like, and then I get to dress a certain way, like, especially Rob Zombie movies, he's very into the wardrobe. Like, he gets so into the wardrobe that he's like, he's literally in the wardrobe trailer, and he waits for you to go in and out of the changing room to come out and see everything you're putting on. So he's that specific about wardrobe.
That's great.
And, you know, he's a busy guy, but he gets that into like, and I love that he knows, like, in those particular movies, he casts people very specifically. Mm-hmm. And he knows, like, my body size and that I'm smaller and petite. And so then when he picks wardrobe, he usually calculates before he even brings you on the set what he's going to put you in. And so I really love that because to me, wardrobe is a really fascinating part of like acting. It's like it really puts you there.
Mm-hmm.
The voice does, but then that's another component. But like wardrobe is like so powerful. Like, you know, and Rob puts me in these weird little go-go boots and these little mini things and these strange things. And then, you know, that just adds, you know, you don't get to dress this like in 31, I have a really cool wardrobe.
Yeah.
And so normally in life, I don't get to do that except for Halloween. But in a Rob Zombie movie, it's horror, it's off the beaten track, it's crazy. So I get to go off into territory that I don't do in life. Like even in 31, I sort of changed my voice. You know, instead of like this voice, I did a, hi, sailor, how many seamen you got in that tin can? You know, just like, it's a whole other character. And I get to use the voice, and then I also get to use my body in the wardrobe. Horror is really fun, and it's just out there and crazy. Do I go to horror movies and do I watch them? Probably. The ones I'm in, but, you know, they kind of freak me out. They stress me out, but not the ones I'm in because I was there filming. So
you know it's all make-believe.
But the real ones, I mean, I have a hard time watching that. It gives me stress.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's an every once in a while thing for me. Every once in a while.
Yeah, kids love them, and I used to have to sit with them because they'd love them, and then they'd freak them out, and I'd be like, why are you watching this then? They'd be like, I can't stop it. Yeah.
E.G., do you have any dream projects that you haven't had a chance to work on yet?
I think I would like to try to do like a really funny character on a sitcom, like just do something like either recurring or something. I just think that would be really fun. I do think I have in me the part of me that is fascinated with things and people and communicating. So there is like a talk show host part of me.
Totally.
That is interested in, like, I'm just really interested in people, and I'm interested in people's journeys, and I'm really interested in people's feelings.
Yeah.
So there is a part of me that has that in me, like somewhere like talk show. And I've always loved like Oprah, because Oprah's just so fun, and she's also, she cares, you know? So I like that whole, so there's something about that. And then there is just, I kind of would like to host one of the award shows, like the Academy Awards or the Grammys. Wow. I just think I could do that. It would be
pretty fun. That'd be a
blast. And do like the big opening music number. I just think things like that are just so random.
Yeah.
You know, as far as other things, just to continue to do like break out different kind of roles, and probably like to do another Tim Burton movie. Probably like to do another, you know, I'd like to do a Baz Luhrmann musical.
Yeah.
I think he's an amazing director. Kind of, I think he's an underrated, amazing director. So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of things. I like characters.
You also done tons of voices for video games. That's another thing that happens in the voiceover world, is you've done a ton of that. Are you a gamer at all? Do you have a favorite video game?
I don't even want to be on my phone, so don't talk to me about games. I mean, I will do the voice, no problem. You know, I will play your warrior chick, no problem. But I will not. I'm not, I just, I don't know when there would be time in the day to play a game.
There's not enough time, I know.
Yeah, I don't, I hope that I don't.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Very cool. EG, do you have a particular fan moment or fan experience that stands out, whether it was like at a convention or online or anything? Anything that really stands out for you as being really special or really cool or funny or anything?
Gosh, there's so many cool fan things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many sweet things. A lot of times, like, you'll have a little connection with someone on the Twitter or on whatever, like, private message, and they say, oh, EG, you moved me because I did this. And then what I try to always do is try to remember who they are. Like, go look at their profiles and see their faces. And then when they walk up to me at a live convention.
No.
And I can give them a real hug. It's really awesome. So, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I have like some fans that come all the time to things. And there's a boy named Nick who's, he's like a late, probably in his teens. And he's this big boy, and he has autism. But he, his mother's amazing. And they come to every single thing that I do.
That's so cool.
And I just, I don't know, you just grow to have these amazing little connections with people. But I especially love when then I go do a signing in Chicago, or, you know, I have a bunch of them coming up right now across the country. But when I go and I just get to see the people in person, and they, some of them cry, and you just want to hold them, and it's just really sweet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a million. There's a million of those.
Is a million.
Then there's also the freaky ones. Like, there was one guy that was sending me weird pictures, and weird pictures. They were very scary. And then one day I was doing a movie in San Francisco, and I was filming, and then I remember just looking up, and he was looking at me through between people's faces, and I was like, oh my God, it was kind of scary. So there are like the scary ones sometimes.
The internet's evolving. We're going to hopefully figure it out. We got to squash all that stuff. We got to figure that stuff out. Do you have a little piece of advice that you would give to young people, whether they are in animation or acting or in the arts or even not? What is, if you were just passing by them and you just had a quick, you know, sentence to tell young people?
I say to follow your, like, I would say, like, there's a little voice, and it gets louder the more you listen to it. And it's the little voice of you that's like, I really like that thing. I really like that person. I really like doing this thing.
Yeah.
Because those are, like, I tell them, the keys to what might make you really happy, and you'll be happy doing something you love, and then usually earn the most when you're doing the things that you really innately love and are genuine about. So I would just say, you know, try not to get caught up in what people think you should do, but really go in, go in and find out what you really love and what makes you really happy. And that stands for, like, people that you spend time with, and people that, and I, you know, people that you just, you know, they say, who are your top five friends? Because show me who your five friends are, and I'll show you who you are. And so, you know, hanging out with people that you admire, that are good people, that are doing great things. And then I also say, you know, like, if you're really interested in something, like voice work or acting, then I always tell people, like, take courses. Like, I took every kind of course you could take. I still do courses sometimes, just even though I'm like, I could teach the course.
Yeah.
I still like to be learning and open and teachable. You know, I like to be willing to learn new things, because sometimes some young new person might say something I never heard. So I'm constantly wanting to grow. So I would say, just be willing to keep growing, because that's really, that's awesome to be humble enough to keep learning, you know. It's good.
This has been amazing, EG. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your stories and sharing your experiences. And from the fan point of view, I want to say, hey, thank you so much for all of your work. And on behalf of the host of this podcast, thank you so much for coming in. Mwah! Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed our conversation with voice acting legend E.G. Daily. Huge thanks to E.G. for coming down and sharing some of her stories. That was so cool. That was so awesome. And guys, in case you weren't aware, she has got a really cool voiceover acting seminar that you can find on Amazon right now. It's E.G. Daily's Up Close and Personal Voiceover Acting Seminar. We've got the link if you head over to nickanimationpodcast.com, along with a bunch of cool behind-the-scenes stuff, including a picture of me and E.G. So be sure to head over to nickanimationpodcast.com for all of that stuff. Wherever you're getting your podcast, if you guys want to leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it. It helps us out. Thanks to the awesome crew who puts this podcast together. This podcast is produced by
Jonathan Highlander,
Dana Vasquez-Eberhardt, Kelly Smith,
Andrew Huebner.
Original music by Useful Creatures. This week's episode edited by
Josh Caldwell,
Jonathan Highlander.
All of the incredible social media for our podcast is made by
Narbe Manassians,
Sammy Armiger,
David Watson.
And thanks to the man who works the controls and makes me sound better than I have a right to,
Manny Grova.
Until next time, thanks for listening to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and keep watching cartoons.